Think of it as a joke. 503-733-2970 coming up at the bottom of the hour. Peter Carlin for the first time in the new year. Like us at 3. Don and Mike at 7 and so forth. 503-733-2970. Have we done the worst way to be castrated? No, we did. I'm trying to keep a better tally. Let's see. Return to the top five. Yes. Peter Carlin coming up. Screech. Yes. Lisa Goddard. Yes. Jim Roop. Yes. Have I done everything else? Oh, I got to do the new wing. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, the President, Prophet, Seer, Revelator, and Godhead of the Rick Emerson Show, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A weather expert at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory of Pasadena, California, says we can expect the hottest summer on record worldwide. Dr. Bill Patzer says two major factors will combine to cause the warmer conditions.
Global temperatures have been rising steadily here for the last century. And when you pile up a little El Nino, albeit a weak El Nino, which essentially warms the atmosphere in the Pacific, that's enough to push us over the edge and potentially give us a record-breaking 2007.
That's one of those guys who sounds like way too happy about it. Like he just tells you with a smile on his face, when you add a little El Nino and that mercury, your kids are going to have tails and cancer. And he just couldn't be happier about it.
That is fun. Yes.
Yes.
An all clear has been given at the Port of Miami after suspicious items sparked enough interest to warrant a call to the Miami-Dade Police Bomb Squad. Port spokesman James May says the bomb squad detonated the package.
There was a small explosion here on the port. We had set up a perimeter. At no point was anyone really in any danger here at the Port of Miami.
There's a lot of panic for nothing. They tell us what happened, what was inside that package.
Afterwards, the bomb squad took a look at what had been destroyed, and indications are that the package was sprinkler parts for a renovation.
Oh, Miami.
That's just for you, Scotty. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, Egyptian police have arrested a man for allegedly chopping up a German drama teacher and dumping his body parts into a suitcase because he refused to pay for gay sex.
Always pay for your gay sex.
Mustasha Maya, who works at a pharmaceutical company, allegedly confessed to killing the unnamed teacher after a suitcase containing the remains were found at a rocky plateau overlooking the Egyptian capital. Police were able to identify the victim and the alleged perpetrator because the dead man, who taught at a German school in Cairo, had been packed into the case along with his cell phone. Mayer was arrested December 27th after the bloody baggage was found and allegedly said he committed the crime because the German refused to pay the agreed-to sum for sex.
Just like a German. Well, we told you last week about this. Germans aren't like the rest of us. They're not to be trusted.
No.
All right.
Meanwhile, it's time for Darwin Watch.
Fantastic. Darwin Watch for Monday on the Rick Emerson
Show. I have a feeling some bad stuff is about to go down.
Don't!
New York, a 13-year-old boy had just finished painting graffiti near railroad tracks when he was struck and killed by a commuter train. The Long Island Railroad hit every craft between stations in Queens during the evening rush hour. The city's medical examiner said he died of blunt impact injuries to the head, torso, and extremities. The teen and three friends have been painting on the elevated tracks near his station, his friends said. Then he crossed the tracks to head home. The train carrying about 1,000 people slammed right into him. The train service was suspended for hours. Friends said he often created large murals with inscriptions like, Remember 9/11, under the tag name Corporal.
Now they're painted an exciting new color called Hint of Ari. Well done, sir.
Well done, indeed. Dateline, Anchorage, Alaska. A 51-year-old Eminyak woman died after drinking antifreeze she mistook for home brew. Thelma Amatak's boyfriend, Franklin Murphy, who drank the toxic liquid with her on Sunday and was medevaced to Anchorage for treatment, said her condition is not immediately known. The antifreeze was stored for unknown reasons in the soft drink bottle.
really, you should be, Sarah, you should be glad that everything, that you're single now, because this is really where you and Nate were headed. You know that's true. Sitting in like an Alaskan shack, drinking homebrew right next to the antifreeze. You know that that's where this road was going to take you.
Apparently, Eminac is a dry community, and Amarak and Murphy had been drinking homebrew, and that's, well, they thought it was in a beverage bottle. Troopers based in Eminac investigated and didn't find anything criminal. The victims didn't know at the time what they were drinking. They thought it was homebrew. It was in a container other than an antifreeze container.
I'm confused about this. So the husband, the boyfriend is alive.
Yes.
The girlfriend is dead.
Mm-hmm.
They were drinking antifreeze, but they thought it was homebrew.
Yes.
So either the homebrew is real bad there, or the antifreeze is real good.
He only took a couple of sips, but she drank more.
But see, they always say that thing about, like, and Dennis and I were talking about this, about dogs. They always say, like, keep your dogs away from antifreeze because it's blah, blah, blah. And not that it's not dangerous. It is. But they do overstate it a little bit in the sense that it takes a fair amount of antifreeze. For even like a small dog, it takes a fair amount of antifreeze to be lethal. Now, obviously, you should keep them away from them because it is dangerous. But it's not like a tablespoon will kill them. They'll throw it up and they'll be unhappy about it and everything. So a human being would have to drink. I mean, you'd have to drink a lot of antifreeze as a human. How far into the antifreeze do you suppose she got before she figured out that maybe it wasn't something she ought to be ingesting? Like, what is it really? Was she shotgunning it or something? Was this some sort of an antifreeze drinking contest? It does seem like you'd have to ingest a lot of that to kill you. I don't know how much antifreeze it would take to kill. If anybody knows how much antifreeze it takes to kill you, let me know, because I'm curious about that. Because that screams a whole lot of somebody being taped down with a funnel in their mouth. That's all I'm saying. Because he managed to survive, and she didn't.
Well, he only took a couple of sips.
Well,
she
maybe
finished the bottle.
Maybe she
had more of a hearty thirst.
Maybe she was real big and he was real small. And so she was. Maybe she was bogarting the antifreeze. Here we go. Logan. Can I just tell you why I love our audience? Right here on the screen, Logan. About drinking antifreeze. Let's find out.
When I was a little kid, I drank antifreeze because my dad put it in the milk jug.
Yes?
And so
let's back up. How old are you now, Logan?
11. Wait, no, 12. 12, I'm 12. Ha ha.
How young were you when this happened?
About 2, I think. Like 1 and a half, maybe.
All right. You're very precise with your ages, Logan. My congratulations to you on such specificity. Now, you drank the antifreeze because it was in what kind of container?
A milk jug.
Milk. Okay. Where was it stored? Like, was it just in the fridge?
My dad was working on his car, and I crawled outside, and I saw the milk, so.
Did it taste like milk?
I don't remember what it tastes like, but then... got my stomach pumped, but...
Now, your stomach pumped now. Were you sick for a long time?
I believe so.
Yeah, I would imagine that that's the case. You didn't develop, like, a habit or anything. You didn't develop a taste for it. You haven't been tempted to try it again.
Well, it's tempting, but I haven't done it.
That's excellent. Well done. Why are you in school right now, Logan? Scotty J wants to know.
I just got out 4 minutes ago.
Huh?
Really?
That's when we got out at like 2:10, I think, in high school.
Where do you go to school? That's not one of your harder questions, really. That's right after what is your name?
I don't know. Linwood.
It has a name.
Linwood?
Linwood?
Yeah, it's right up the street.
Are you making this up?
Up what street?
Oh. What street? No, we shouldn't say
that. I don't know what street it's on.
All right. What is your favorite subject, Logan?
Not... being at school.
Logan, you're going to do just fine. You're going to go well. All right, Logan, thank you for listening. You spread the word. Remember, everything they teach you at school, lies. All lies. All right, thank you, Logan.
Thank you.
Okay,
bye.
There you go. Thank you. Scotty, let's make sure to put that on that composite that CBS requested of the program. Put that right after the part where I spent a lot of time talking about whores. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, a would-be thief is dead after breaking into a Hydro-Quebec tower to steal valuable copper wire. The man in his 40s was electrocuted when he cut the electrical wires atop the tower at the north end of Montreal. Such thefts have become commonplace with the soaring price of scrap metal, including copper.
Genius.
Across Canada last year, there have been reports of manhole covers torn out, aluminum siding ripped off homes, and aging church roofs stripped of scrap. In one case in Ontario, a bronze statue of a Ukrainian poet was chopped up at the feet and carted off and sold for scrap.
Probably matches the real-life condition of the poet now.
Electrical wires are a popular target for scrap metal thieves, and there have been many deaths reported in the U.S., but not as many as Canada. A wire carries up to 13,000 volts. It'll kill you instantly.
Logan, do not cut through copper wiring, Logan. It's not a toy. All right. That kid's fantastic. All right, there's your Darwin watch for Monday on Rick Emerson's show.
Another one bites the dust.
Don't.
Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust.
Hey.
Kristen from accounting says, please to be telling Sarah Dillon to put in a good word for me with one Jimmy McGorman, guitarist extraordinaire for Rockstar Supernova.
Yeah, that's her soulmate.
And then she... Okay.
I remember from the show.
Creepy. And then she signs it, he will be mine, even if I have to move back to L.A. Oh, is he the guy that looks like Greg Glover? From KNRK?
Like a taller Greg, yeah.
Taller. That's a polite way to put that.
No, I saw Greg the other day.
Like he was stretched out.
Greg is not a hefty boy. He looks very good. He looks normal.
He looked... of regulation size. He was evenly proportioned.
I don't know how to respond to that.
Okay. Let's do one more and then we'll break. We'll come back. We got Peter Carlin, Lycus at 3, etc.
Well, you've probably heard of the movie Snakes on the Plane, haven't you?
I have.
Well, passengers aboard a Toronto-based jet experienced the real thing this weekend, only it wasn't a snake that got loose. It was a scorpion. The creature stung a man after breaking free from its confines on the plane, causing an hour-long delay at Pearson International Airport, this is in Canada, as officials looked to see if any others had gotten loose. The scorpion made it through security in Costa Rica in the plane's passenger's backpack as he prepared to board the American Airlines flight heading to Toronto. The plane made its scheduled stopover in Miami and had taken off again for Toronto before the critter made its unwanted appearance. But the scorpion was no pet. The man had been on a camping trip in the country when his brother... Oh, with his brother.
The scorpion's brother?
I'm sorry.
Pedro, let me know when you make it to the promised land. Send for Maria and the children.
He was on a camping trip with his brother when the creature crawled into his bag without seeing it. Then at midplant, the scorpion crawled out of the backpack and stung the man on the back of the knee. The scorpion was killed when it was captured.
Good.
Animal control identified it as a non-lethal species.
Here's the freaky things about this story. A, the fact that it's a scorpion. B, the fact that it's a scorpion. C, the fact that it's a scorpion. And D, the fact that it contains the phrase, the scorpion broke free and attacked the man.
Yes.
Because that... like
it wasn't chained.
Yeah, get the image of a manacled scorpion. I will not die a monster! You know, like totally... like, brick. With the... because he's... he's scorpion. Zing!
That's understandable.
Zing. We're done here, aren't we?
Let's pause for this commercial break.
Let's take a break now. We'll come back. We'll talk to Peter Carlin for the Oregonian. We'll pay a final visit to the Ministry of Truth later on. You stay right there. It's 503-733-2970. 503. So at least I didn't say, like, here I am now. Rock you like hurricane. See, because scorpion. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson Show, back after this. Jerky. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. Rick, about the top five, you played Janis Joplin but failed to include Tom Araya's signature scream. I now hate you with the fire of a thousand suns. Okay. All right. P.S. Waiters in Chinese restaurants are always named Packy. Rick. Hey, that guy saying there's going to be a daughter in Indy 4 reminded me of supposedly David Kep, who wrote Indy 4. He often has kids in his films. Let's see, Jurassic Park, War of the Worlds, Panic Room, Trigger Effects, Stir of Echoes, kids. Anyway, thank you for playing Sam Kinison. Rick, I think the only idea would be if Indy fought Nazis in South America, old Nazis, a.k.a. after the war. Ink and Treasure hasn't been done yet in a movie, but the kid idea is just horrible. I just don't want to see Indiana Jones 4. Stop Lucas. Why can't Lucas do his other movies? Doesn't he have original ideas anymore? The answer to that is no. No, sir. If Indiana Jones has aged 20 years, doesn't that mean the movie will really have to take place in the mid-1960s? Indiana Jones at Woodstock. Indiana Jones on the cross-country LSD motorcycle trip. Fantastic. All right. Speaking of nothing really in particular, let's say...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
I gotta get a shorter version of that.
Were you gonna make a shorter version of that at some point?
Yeah, we already have one with the potato chips, remember?
Oh, that's right. Where is that?
It should be,
Is it Scotty,
Brilliant.
No.
That's all I can say.
Today we...
Yeah.
A lot of stuff in there.
I don't really... Well, I was going to try to get it sorted over the holidays. That didn't really happen. Well, I don't know where it is. It's but I remember playing it once. And liking it.
It's
now it's gone.
It's in the waves right near the Scotty J normal one. It says Scotty J chips or something. But, you know,
Scotty J.
However, a little past the
chips
moment now.
Scotty J.
However did you name it? Let's see. I don't see it. David Cassidy. There is no Scotty J chips.
Maybe it's under David Cassidy chips.
Scotty J. This is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
No? Scotty,
no, that's still long.
Summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
You don't know where
that's
it is.
Send this message.
You're making it up. You don't have anything.
Okay.
I think I do recall the chip.
I heard it once. I don't know where it went to.
I will tell you this real quick.
Yeah.
That David didn't like having a dog. And I said actually doing the show is like saving him every day. He said we're going to get rid of the dog and we'll just...
Why is this in here?
We have it. So we know. I'm going to go with Dan Bonaduce.
We're working on...
Stop, for the love of God.
We're working on a deal for Dennis.
Okay, anyway. Hey, so what is it? What did you want to know about Kwanzaa?
Oh, caller wanted to know if that's what your thought was, if that's a made-up holiday or...
Well, they're all made-up holidays.
Something apparently on Channel 23 right now is about Kwanzaa and if it really exists.
Of course. Does it really exist? What do you think, Scotty? Wait, hold on. What's the suburban perspective? Wait, do you have music? We never got music for this. I need to...
Oh, don't I have something?
Well, we were going to use the whitest music ever, but we haven't really figured out what the whitest song... Don't call about this yet, because we don't have any time to talk about
that.
It's
in the Leave It to Beaver thing.
Nah, but that's too obvious. It's got to be a little flair. We were looking for the whitest song ever to use for the suburban perspective. Well, you had something
right,
for the whitest song
ever,
didn't
leave
you?
It to, we were going to call it Leave It in Beaverton and play the Leave It to Beaver song.
No, we weren't. That's a thing you suggested, and I just mentally moved on. I acknowledge I smiled and humored you for the moment, and then I discarded that into my mental trash can. I don't know what you were thinking.
Here we go. I found it.
This is the suburban perspective.
Well, we have to get rid of that.
It's the Donna Reed theme. Yeah, that was like our temp. That was our ad hoc score. Scotty J, what is the suburban perspective on Kwanzaa?
I have no perspective on it whatsoever. Really, I'm leaving that one alone.
Well, what is Kwanzaa?
I don't know. See?
Does it exist for everyone?
I hope you wouldn't ask me that question.
Who celebrates Kwanzaa?
You know what? I don't know anything about it, so I'm not even going to put my foot in my mouth over it.
How many days are there in Hanukkah?
I'm going to guess 16. I don't know. I don't follow any of that. 12.
It's not an auction.
16.
Okay. You've already said that.
Okay, 12.
You've said both of these numbers. You're just going back and forth between two numbers now.
See, I don't pretend to know everything about everything in the world. I just know a little something about something. And that's one of them that I don't know.
Did you really... That's in the slightly smaller pile of things you don't understand.
No, I swear that comes from the movie A Boy's Life or something like that with,
the guy who was in that thing.
He was in Casino, and I can't think of his name now. Crying out loud, the main guy.
Was it a Hanukkah film for one of the 16 days of Hanukkah?
No.
Or perhaps 12?
This Boy's Life, De Niro, that's the name I'm looking for. He... It says, I know a little something about a little something or something. I believe that comes from that movie.
How did you spell Kwanzaa? Let's look.
I don't know. I told you I know nothing about it. Nor do I pretend to.
Q-U-A-N-S-A. It's not an airline. Yeah.
Like Kwanzaa Airlines.
Yeah. Kwanzaa's a made-up holiday, but so are they all. They're all made-up holidays. So what are you going to do? It's a recently made-up holiday, so people don't... You know, it's like that Indiana Jones thing about, you know, this watch, blah, 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 you bury it in the desert for 1,000 years, men will kill each other for it. That's the thing about Kwanzaa. In 1,000 years, everybody will treat it like it's a real holiday. So what are you going to do? All right. Hey, Scotty J, the reason we brought you in here today. Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever been... people are calling about something.
I was told to say no before you even ask.
By who?
Just listeners, peeps.
You don't have peeps.
Okay.
We were going to ask you if you've ever been hypnotized.
No.
Really?
I have not.
Okay. Well, we're going to put that down on the list of things that you have to have done. All right. Have you been told? Have people tried to hypnotize you?
No, but I did a DJ gig up in Washington, and the show right before us was
a
hypnotist.
Really?
And it was really cool. People were really, they looked real. I don't know why he'd pull people from the audience and then whisper in their ear, act like you're hypnotized, because I don't think he did.
I thought
it looked real.
What did they do?
Yeah, made them into, like, chickens or whatever.
What's with the chicken?
I don't know.
Seriously, that is like, that really is like the free bird of the hypnotist. I hate to use the free bird reference, but I mean, that's all I can think of. But that really is like, that's like how every impression is the Christopher Walken of the hypnotism world.
This particular guy, I'm not, that chicken thing's just a joke. I don't remember because it was like 2 years ago, but he was like really professional and really good, and the audience was way jacked up on his presentation.
All right, so we're gonna find a hypnotist.
And hypnotize you.
Because Sarah and I can't be hypnotized.
Why is that?
Because...
I can't.
Because we're...
against your religion?
Because we're left-handed.
Oh. Thought it was a religious
thing. Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. It's a religious type thing.
It's a
can we have Scotty J be hypnotized to think you're an ice cream cone, Rick?
That'd be fantastic.
No, I'm not going to lick ice cream cone.
This is fantastic. We should take a little suggestions on what Scotty should be hypnotized. I want to hypnotize Scotty into thinking he is a big black man. That would be fantastic.
I want to put some. Yeah, I want to make something an ice cream cone. Okay. Who thinks it is?
Like a shoe.
Yeah.
Or, like Will's pants in engineering.
Oh,
right. God.
Rick Emerson Show, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
The movie Scotty was talking about, This Boy's Life, with Leonardo DiCaprio.
And Robert De Niro.
Robert
right.
De Niro. And yes. The phrase is, I know a thing or two about a thing or two, but what you don't know would fill a book.
Do you know how many days are in Hanukkah, sir?
No.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for reminding us of that movie bit.
I like the tone of the, why would I possibly know that? All right, thank you, sir. Let's see. Rick Emerson Show. Hello, who is this? Hello. All right.
Hello?
Okay. Yeah, hello. Hi there. Hello, sir. What's your name?
Oh, jeez, I'm on the air. Right on. Hey,
No, yeah, this is Scotty.
It's a world of magic and wonders. Yes?
Kwanzaa is the black holiday created by that black scientist who... was saying that
race
is descended from Africa.
Hold on, you have to stop. You have to stop here. The best part was this. This is the moment of genius that you missed because this is a radio program. At the phrase, black scientist, Scotty just threw up his arms and made this face, and the face was this phrase. It was a, what are you talking about? You're talking crazy.
Well,
that was fantastic. As soon as you said black scientist, he had this look on his face as though you told him that the moon was made out of old socks that had fallen into space.
No, this was the guy. No, this guy totally, like, he was the guy, and I cannot remember his name, but he is the guy that his hypothesis or whatever, his working thesis,
yes,
was that the whole human race was descended from Africa, and he was the guy that created this holiday for the Afro population to celebrate, and it's been around for several years now. It's,
you know, there's nothing
in December. I don't know what the dates are, but it's kind of like a Hanukkah thing. It's for a few days.
The Afro population. Who was it that said that? Oh, it was Michael Richards that said that. Afro American. I am not a racist. Oh, please, God. Please give me money.
Exactly.
I can't get a real job, please. Oh, I love black
people. All right,
people.
So that's my two cents.
All right, thank you, sir.
You ever.
Thank you, sir.
You know, I've heard the African descendant thing before. That's the first time that I've heard that. I don't know if it was Discovery Channel or reading a book.
Maybe in a textbook.
In a textbook back in grade school.
What African?
That we all descended from over there.
And how did? What is
I've heard that before.
What is the suburban perspective on that theory, Scotty J?
It's possible. I don't know.
What is your alternate theory?
I don't have an alternate theory.
See, this is the suburban perspective of Scotty J.
I've read the book, Rick.
Which book?
I know when to keep my mouth shut.
No, I'm simply asking.
What book?
What book are you speaking of? The Bible?
No, the book about...
We're talking about science now. I'm just saying, the suburban perspective, you say that you have read the theory that we're descended from Africa.
I've heard this, and you want my opinion on
that? I'm just asking,
what book?
What is your perspective?
My perspective is I don't really have one other than it's possible, right?
What if your children asked you about that, about where we came from?
I'd tell them to read a book.
Which book?
I don't know. Boy, this is horrible.
Well, I suppose it's all a matter of perspective. I'm sure there are some people who are finding this fascinating. I'm one of those people. I think Sarah's one of those people. Where does what is the suburban perspective on creationism versus evolution, Scotty?
I believe in creationism.
We're listening.
I believe that, you know, there's a God and, you know, Jesus Christ came down and died for our sins and the whole nine yards.
Okay, but...
So we're going to have a debate over this now?
Now, you're becoming defensive. I'm merely asking. In your opinion, how old would you guess the Earth is?
See, I don't know the real answer, but it's either going to be like 300 million or something like that. 360 million days.
You're just
a year.
You're picking the biggest number you can think of.
No, I've heard it in a book or something. Read it in a book.
What but book?
I don't remember. It could have been people. Bright people.
Were they from Africa?
That is possible. So, why did this turn into a suburban perspective deal here? I don't get it.
Because we were curious to know your thoughts on these things.
Okay.
Let's take a call, shall we? Hello, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hi, guys. This is Darren.
Hi, Darren.
A couple of things. Number one, I believe that, as you mentioned, Kwanzaa is an African sort of holiday, and it was started in 1966.
Yes. Yes, it was.
And it started this year, the day after Christmas.
Yes. No, they're all centered around Christmas. It's, yeah.
Well, yeah, and they're all made up, as you alluded to earlier.
Coke versus Pepsi, yeah.
And you were speaking of antifreeze.
Yes.
And how much it takes and all that, and you heard 10 ounces. I can tell you one thing, well, a couple of things. Number one, it doesn't taste all that wonderful, so that you must really be blitzed to think that it is an alcohol.
Or their homebrew is just really bad.
Well, yeah, but this is worse. I mean, it's nasty stuff.
All right.
And it can burn skin very, very easily.
Yeah, I'm amazed that she managed to ingest enough of it. That's what I'm saying. I suspect there was a duct tape and like a funnel involved. So.
Well, yeah, and a lot of brain damage.
That's true. All right, thank you, Darren. All right, let's see. One final question, Scotty J. So the suburban perspective on the theory that man is descended from apes or more simple primate creatures. Do you believe that is a fact?
Yes.
Did you not just say that you were a creationist?
No, I believe that we were created, right? But we could have been in this form and then over the years evolved into what we are today.
So... So you are a creationist?
No, we were created by God, right? That's my belief. All right? In this form. And then over time, you know, from the caveman era or before, evolved into what we are today. So... I know it doesn't make sense.
So are you saying that God came down?
No.
I'm trying to figure this out. So God made us, but we were cavemen.
Possibly, yes. That's what I think.
Cavemen.
Yeah.
So Jesus was the caveman.
But you know, it's totally confusing, and I never get into religious conversations.
Well, this is not really religious.
You know, there's the Adam and Eve thing, you know, but there were cavemen before that, supposedly. So I don't know.
Were Adam and Eve cave people?
I don't think so. Because they're not portrayed that way in the book.
But they were the first men that...
They look like normal people.
In what book?
Cartoons. Okay.
Thank you, Scotty.
The book we saw in Sunday school or whatever.
Scotty J, ladies and gentlemen, with the suburban perspective.
Thank you.
Thank you, Scotty J.
I just want to hug you.
We have to go out on that. I can't possibly. There's nowhere for me to go. All right. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
Just to sum it up, Scotty just said Adam and Eve were cavemen, right?
No, I think he said they were... Yes. Yes, because that's what the picture showed them as being. I think. I don't know. He seemed a little fuzzy on the whole concept. Back after this, kids. Don't go anywhere. I keep a skip over here. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Ladies and gentlemen, let's pay a final visit to the Ministry of Truth. It's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A Dallas-based pizza company that caters to Latinos will start accepting payments in pesos. That's Mexican money starting today. They say they want to appeal to the core customer, but some politicians are upset about it.
Why should an illegal woman come to the United States, give birth to a baby, and that baby be given all the rights of a citizen? Why should there be illegals hanging on every street corner in almost every major town in the South, and no one picks them up and deports them?
I swear to God, this story was about pizza, like five
seconds ago. That's State Senator Dan Patrick. He says immigrants are not accepting American values.
And the people who are coming to this country do not embrace our culture. Yes, they're supplying some need in jobs that are open, but they are diluting our culture.
Oh, stick a sock in it.
Tony Blair will make it clear this week that Britain is not going to send in more troops, even if we do. The Prime Minister will insist the UK will stick to its own strategy of gradually handing over to the Iraqi army, that place in Basra where nobody's fighting anyway.
Fantastic.
Tops in the box office over the weekend, Night at the Museum.
Again.
Yeah. And in eighth place, The Good Shepherd. The problem is the title. A lot of people think it's a Christmas movie.
I had no idea what it was. Mm-hmm. The Good Shepherd. And I still don't really know why it's called The Good Shepherd. I'm assuming that it's relevant to, like, the CIA, or it's from some document or some book or whatever. I don't know. I had no idea what it was. Lara's actually the one who found it. She's like, let's find this. Yeah. Go see the spy film. So where'd you all see it at?
I saw it at the Evergreen in the suburbs.
I saw it at Lloyd Cinemas. Okay. Not the one in the mall, but across the street.
Yeah, the one across the street is way better.
Mm-hmm.
I really would encourage people to go see that. That Night at the Museum just looks so bad.
I don't know. I thought it looked kind of cool.
It has its moments. Here's the thing. I don't like Ben Stiller. That's the thing. Ben Stiller is a turnoff to me. He's movie-wise. He's bad. I will give you this. So the scene where he and the monkey are slapping each other makes me laugh. Every time I see that trailer and the monkey's like covered in shaving cream and he and the monkey are slapping, that never, I mean, I'm a guy. That never gets old. A guy fighting a monkey is hilarious. But it's like him and Robin Williams together in one film. It's like it's the nexus of old. It's bad.
One needs to go back to rehab.
It's true. Chad, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, dude. I just want to tell you that with today's show, I have fully converted three new listeners, my roommates, to the Rick Emerson
program. God bless you.
Program.
Thank you, awesome. Sir. Thank you. Oh, we should... Tim Riley, well, greatest newsman ever, Tim, and now he's gone.
He's got to grab the mic.
He's got to grab... Well, thank you, sir. Now, did they not listen before? They resisted?
No, well, they are not into talk radio. They've all got their own lives, you know, and I kind of brought it into the house when I moved in a few months ago. Found them on Craigslist.
Thankfully,
you
don't have that problem, so.
Well, no, I've been listening to you since I moved here 6.5 years ago, dude. I found you on KOTK about 3 months after I moved here.
Excellent.
And I've been avid ever since, dude. I've been spreading the word, and my three roommates are totally down with you. So.
Very cool. Well, thank you. You keep spreading the word. You call us anytime, Chad.
Right on. And can I just say, and I got the confirmation from Scotty J when I talked to him earlier, Sarah, good on you, girl.
Oh, thank you.
so many boys in the Portland, like, Metroplex just, like, freaked out when you said you guys are officially broken up. So you're on single hot list now, so play your game, do your thing, and we'll see what happens.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your support,
right.
Sir.
Best show ever.
Thank you. There you go. That's Chad. There you go. No, that's a compliment. I know that sounds like a restraining order call, but that is a compliment. Mike, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yeah, hey, Rick. Is Scott still around there?
No, Scotty is, no, he's gone away somewhere.
Well, you need to ask him about the if he believes in the creation theory, if Adam and Eve had belly buttons.
Well?
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy.
I
don't know what else to say.
Have him try to explain that one.
You amount to Jack Scott. Scotty J, do you believe that Adam and Eve had belly buttons?
No, I do not.
Okay, there you go, sir.
So have him explain that. How does that work?
I believe it's...
How would they not have belly buttons?
It's because of the... usually you have the belly button from the umbilical cord, right? And they were created, you know, by God, so...
Now, were they before...
Yeah, the
Jesus
bone.
Has a belly button when he's hanging on the cross. Right. Like every picture I've seen.
From Mary,
now, were
right?
Adam and Eve, in the suburban perspective, were Adam and Eve before or after cavemen?
After.
So
no. See, that's where I'm confused. They can't be after, right? If they were like the first being.
I don't know, Scott.
That's where I get confused. It's all very confusing. They should be before, right?
So how did they give birth to the next people if they didn't have belly buttons?
No, they didn't have belly buttons because they were created, right? Belly buttons.
So they were before
cutting the umbilical cord.
They were
right?
before cavemen.
They should be, yes. See, this is.
Is that your final answer?
This is like third grade horrificness here. I don't know this. But I don't. I don't know much about anything, actually, now that I think about it.
There you go, kids. Scotty J in the Suburban Perspective. Thank you, Scotty. What's up?
Postman is the person in your neighborhood.
Welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Mailman Chris. Hello, sir.
Boy, we're learning a lot today, aren't we?
I suppose one could put it that way.
Yeah. God. No Carlin.
That's not my fault. That's...
No castration.
Well, that's my fault.
And no wing.
Oh, that's also my fault. The Peter thing, look, man, I confirmed with him today. We left three messages. Fine, it's on me. But, I mean, I made a good faith effort. Scotty will back me up on that.
Well, you just don't tease it if you're not positive.
I guess at this point, Carlin's always going to have to go in the maybe column. Yeah, no, that's true. I'm going to have to move that to the...
You can take it for this week.
No, I'll take it for this week. No, that's fine. I'll take one for the team this week. That's fine. We'll make it three for today.
Make it three.
All right. How's life on the home front, if I can ask?
Oh, I'm sick as hell. And the kid is killing me.
Not literally, I hope.
That's the only place left he's got to go.
Really? Don't eat anything that the seal is broken on. Buy all your own food, sir.
Yeah, he, 12 years old, he didn't show up for school, didn't come home. I stayed up all night, drank three bottles of vino to stay up, because I was worried as hell. Where is he? Called the cops. He shows up at, like, lunchtime the next school.
And any explanation?
No, he won't talk to me, so.
All right.
Good news is that the therapist's going to make him take a urinalysis.
That sucks. And you hate to do that, but I mean, God, who knows what that kid could be into? I mean, you know.
But I do have two working cars.
Yeah, well, it's a bit of a wash then, isn't it?
I guess he could steal one and...
I was going to say, keep
yeah,
the keys.
Yeah, watch out.
Yeah, take the distributor cap off those cars. All right. Well, Sarah, say something encouraging.
Good luck, Chris.
Thanks.
Well, you know, I can just think about, you know, I listen to the show. It's a good escape, and have fun in Los Angeles, Sarah.
Thank you.
Right. Yeah, sounds like you're gonna get to meet all the people there in Supernova, and you know, maybe Tommy Lee and.
I don't think I'll be anywhere near Tommy Lee.
I was going to say, don't fall into the Tommy Lee trap.
No, you don't want to do that.
No, that wasn't one of the people proposed.
All right. Thank you, sir. I hope your day resolves well. We'll talk to you tomorrow, my friend.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Mailman Chris. All right. There you go. We're going to next see a radio correspondent, Lisa Goddard, from whom we'll try to beat more information tomorrow. Jim Roop and so forth. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio in the newsroom. Tim Riley, Scotty J is our PA and manager of the Rick Emerson Office East is Dave Zinn. Tomorrow, Dennis Pitzenbarger on the show. Like us next. Donna Mike at 7. As always, my friends, thank you for listening. Don't let the bastards run it down. See y'all tomorrow. Be safe. Bye.
A new direction.
This is big. I'm not going to blow this one.